These girls are having a breakdown. Bravo breakdowns. These girls are going insane now. Bravo breakdown.
Then I'll do some announcements up top. Good morning, students. I'm Lauren Davis.
I'm Michelle Baber.
And here we are coming to you at a different time, on a different day, with all kinds of other big news. That's right. This episode isn't late. It is being released on Thursday because this is our new release date for the rest of Salt Lake City.
Yes, it took us halfway through the season
to realize you guys don't want the new the recaps
a week later.
Yes,
and
yeah.
So we've heard you loud and clear.
Mm-hmm. Or we've heard you not hear us loud and clear.
We've seen that you haven't heard us loud or clear
for
about
all
the entire duration of this season.
And we know you're Salt Lake City girlies. Mm-hmm. So Thursday's going to be our release date until we finish our conclusion of Salt Lake City, which should be beginning of February, although Bravo is very coy about its scheduling.
Yeah.
And then another big announcement, we will be in March changing release dates again, because guess what? We are covering Taylor Frankie Paul as our new The Bachelorette. We're holding for applause. Three first names.
Cannot wait.
I have been like in and out of the franchise. My sisters are big fans of Bachelor and Bachelorette. I've watched like recent seasons, three or four gold, like for all the way from what's his name, Matt, to Gary the Golden Bachelor. And Michelle's a newbie, so we're kind of giving you.
I've watched one season of The Bachelor my whole life, and it was the Nick Vial season.
Ugh. And that was enough. You were like,
I was like,
no more.
I'm out of here. But I don't know. When somebody with three first names shows up, I'm like, get me back.
I pay attention.
I pay attention when they have three first names.
Yeah. And it's just an exciting time for us as reality TV respecters that
who
like
watch Mormons.
Who watch Mormons. Well, also just that we're having, it's like the one good part of these big media mergers is that reality TV stars, and they are stars. It is a talent.
She's a star.
She's a star. They can cross over into other shows. They can make more of a living doing that. Mm. They've got a little more protection and can give us the drama we need. They're being recognized as like delivering entertainment and viewers, and we love to see that.
TNT, we know drama.
Right.
Taylor Nanky Tall.
Also, this is for like all the girlies who are into The Bachelorette, but also want to hear us make fun of it
because we don't know shit about it.
I mean, I still have a lot of respect for the franchise, but we're like, we'll have kind of a more absurdist take about all of the strange.
We'll have like a newborn
traditions.
Baby, like seeing things for the first time a lot. A lot of it's going to be, you know, I haven't watched the show since Chris Haynes. What was his name? Chris Haynes was a different guy. That was Garth Brooks.
Chris Gaines.
Is that who hosted The Bachelor, or was that Garth Brooks?
I see, and these are the questions that we'll be answering.
I don't even know who hosts. Chris Hanks?
No, it was Chris, and now it's
Harrison.
Jesse Harrison. Chris Harrison. And now it's Jesse Eisenberg. No, I'm just kidding. But I know that like a lot of Bachelorette, there's a lot of great ones, but I know there are some podcasts where it's like, oh, the hosts are a little bit over it. That won't be us. We are confused, bemused,
confused,
excited, delighted.
We're going to be like babies grabbing at things. Can we put this in our mouth?
We're discovering things.
Yeah, you know, we'll be
spatial
using every
awareness.
Sense.
Yes.
All of our senses.
Yes.
Yeah.
That
sounds fun to you.
Yeah, watching us grasp object permanence live on the air.
Oh, wait. She said peekaboo, and then she came back, and I didn't know she would. And that's what Taylor Frankie Paul's going to do.
Exactly, yeah.
We're going to the commercial.
will have excitement over the falling for you and the change and how that's different from falling in love with you.
Honestly, the fantasy suites with the, like, are they going to do soaking? You know, I'm excited.
There's a lot of excitement, and it is like a new showrunner for the franchise. It's a new vision, and maybe, you know, see it through the eyes, hear it through the ears of new podcasters. Check us out. And another big announcement is we will be covering both Bachelorette and Salt Lake City, not just on the podcast, but live, coming to you live at the Grapevine. In December, we will be starting live watches. We have a residency at the Grapevine Bar, which is not in Grapevine, Texas. I cannot be clear enough. It is in Dallas. And we will be doing a live watch of the episode because we really just want a place to watch Salt Lake City
with people who love Bravo and love drinking on Tuesdays.
Exactly. And you don't have to drink. Like, you know, I won't always drink because I'm too scared of having even a sip of alcohol and then getting into a car. So it's really cowardice holding me back more than anything else. But just to be around community, to be around the people and enjoy Bravo with people, real life friends, like all the online and parasocial friends we make along the way. Mm-hmm. Something to be said about, you know, being there in person. And then after Salt Lake City, we will be doing a Bravo Breakdown show, which will be Watch What Happens Live. That's right. We will be doing our own version of Watch What Happens Live with live games, live prizes, special guests, Dallas influencers, other Dallas podcasters, Dallas comedians, and even you, the audience. We know that's like such a, you know, fantasy, right? For to be a guest or a bartender on Watch What Happens Live. And this is your opportunity.
Lauren just really wants to dress. She just wants to be Andy Cohen.
Well, first of all,
she's always wanted to be a gay Jewish boy.
Middle-aged, I think, is also
she's always been a
part
gay
of that.
Jewish boy.
Mm-hmm. 55-ish, I think.
He's a daddy.
We're really going to get specific. And then, so that's part of it. But also, it's like, you know, we know you guys don't want to just hear us talk about the episode. You want, like, we want you guys to play games like Plead the Fifth. We want to poll you guys over whether you think Heather Gay is being too much of a producer or not. We want,
the
audience.
We want your monologues. We want you to read scripts. Yeah.
And perform them. We don't need, you know, Meryl Streep or Jamie Lee Curtis.
That
we want you
bitch.
To read Mary
We want
Cosby
you to do monologues from
scenes.
Sophie's Choice.
Well, we're going to do Bravo for now, and then maybe we'll transition into old Bravo. Yeah, you know, Criterion Collection films, depending on, you know, the response.
Holden Pond.
And then we will be transitioning into later in March our Sunday live watches and Sunday coverage of The Bachelorette. So exciting times for Bravo Breakdowns. Come check us out in Dallas. Our first show is December 2nd. If you don't even like us, you don't even have to stay for the live watch or like stay after the live watch. You can come in, see the girlies, and then GTFO. If you don't want to, you know, play fun contests, make more friends, see some of your favorite Dallas acts, impersonations of housewives. If you're not interested in any of that, then, you know, that's fine.
But still show up.
If not for us, then
just double check you're not into it. Just like make sure.
Just make sure. Yeah, make sure. Exactly. Yeah. Something for everyone, the people who like fun and the people who don't.
Not into it. Yeah, you can sit at the end of the bar and drink by yourself.
Yeah, it's if you want to cancel your peacock, then, you know, here's a reason.
You just have to tolerate us for an hour.
Exactly. And then, you know, if you're not going to spend money on drinks, then, you know, tip your bartender for your club soda. But the whole thing will be entirely free. Okay, so let's get into the episodes. We did not cover episode 8 or episode 11 on Peacock. This is, like, making me crazy that they have changed the Peacock numbers. And then we're today we're going to focus on last night's episode, because that's the hot, fresh news. Episode 9 of Salt Lake City. And my conclusion from both of these episodes, which were the cruise ship episodes, of course, the Salt Lake City girls' reign of terror over the below deck all-stars cast they assembled to wait on them, is that I think Heather Gay needs to replace Chuck Schumer as minority party leader. Don't you think?
Oh my God. When you said replace Chuck Schumer, I'm not really sure why I immediately thought of Chuck Lorre. And I was like, you know what? Heather could be a really good showrunner on some of our favorite CBS comedies.
I mean, let's put her on the 2.5 Men reboot. And then if that works.
I'm not sure Charlie Sheen would have had the problems he had if we had Heather Gay in the mix.
Keeping him in line? No way. Keeping him in line,
especially if she had Whitney. That's yes, her number
she definitely
two.
Needs Whitney needs to replace Hakeem Jeffries. Yeah, is then, the other thing that's crucial.
Then yeah. Heather Gay can replace all the Chucks.
All the Chucks. I mean, like, if we had, like, the way she has whipped this show into shape. I mean, the rule she instigated, she and Whitney are like enforcing, is so really done so much for the franchise. Which is, if you say something behind someone's back. You also have to say it to all of us so that me and Whitney can decide how the storyline goes and when it ends. And that's really
on camera.
And it's on camera, and it's really cleaned things up so much. Like, we've gotten so much more juice out of all of these bizarre, insane allegations. Like, I'm making a jerk-off pantomime, and it's like we are really squeezing
all the cum. Snowflakes.
Yeah, squeezing those the juice out of the cum juice out of those snowflakes. Let's mix metaphors.
The cum juice out of the snowflakes. Honestly, Kyle Richards, you need to take notes. This is like how you've wanted to produce a show.
Kyle is Chuck Schumer
now, and he can't do it.
Kyle is Chuck, and we honestly, like, really,
she
we need
is
to
so
give Heather
Nancy
the
Pelosi
reins.
And Chuck Schumer.
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
I think
no, Nancy Pelosi at least retired.
I know. Who Garcelle is Nancy Pelosi? I don't know. Everyone is culpable. That's why we hold all of the Beverly Hills cast responsible. The
They're
same way we
all
hold
held
all...
accountable because look what's going on.
Yes, like we hold all of the Democrat senators accountable.
Honestly,
you guys need to oust Kyle Richards and oust
you need
Chuck
to call,
Schumer, or
stop
we'll primary
senators. Call Kyle Richards and ask why the government's still shut down.
God, I wish we could primary housewives. Like, I wish they need shorter term limits as well, other than like with special exceptions. Like
special exceptions.
But, you know, Heather, she really is emerging as a sort of whip in the way that Bethany once did. She's really reminding me of Bethany.
She's less abrasive.
Less abrasive and less personal storylines, but
less
like,
and we don't have to have. She's not shilling products at us every day.
Yes, well, and the I book. Like, I mean, she shills in a more.
She's not
aware
opening
way.
A skinny girl margarita.
Right, her branding drinking. is herself more than like her hawking.
She
her
got
wares.
A spinoff,
and I think that really helped get everyone in line behind her the same way they did behind Bethany. It's like Heather is the biggest deal.
Isn't it weird that like her spinoff is like not like a regular Bravo spinoff? It's like a Leah Remini like Scientology type spinoff.
I think it's so smart that's crazy. It's Bravo, you know, continuing the true crime kind of, you know, docuseries element. Like they were letting Hulu get all of these, you know, shitty, quick, unauthorized documentaries.
Yeah, like, no,
they need to get in on this.
We need to get the Leah Remini-ness out of Heather Gay.
Honestly, it's really harrowing stuff. Like a lot, you know, Scientology really fucked up, but man, a lot more like sex abuse and pedophilia and Mormonism.
And
like,
we kinda, do not condone that.
Kind of, like, it's just like, kind of, I'm like, oh, I don't know if, I think maybe more of a camp vehicle might serve
Trigger
Heather
warning.
A little better. We need maybe a psychologist sidekick, you know,
but
to
anyway,
help
that's a
handle this.
Trigger warning.
Post-trigger warning. Anyway, before you watch the show, I mean, they don't really warn you when you hop into Surviving Mormon. You don't really know what to expect, so. Just know it is harrowing. Harrowing stuff. All right, so previously on episode 8, Bronwyn slept outside like a dog because her and Brittany are fighting. And then she, in the morning,
like
she wakes up.
Like cats and dogs.
Like cats and dogs. And I think it rained a little, like Cats and Dogs, and she got rained out.
Yeah, she never thought, like, I'm going to sleep inside on, like, one of the couches. Like, it's a big yacht. Or, like, under, like, covered. Like, no, she, like, just slept on the literal poop deck. But she still brought her sleep mask.
But see, this is how I relate to her, is her. She has such low standards for herself and has such low self-esteem. And, like, I that's so me. Can't you see me sleeping outside of my house, like, on my lawn because I'm mad at Cam?
I can see you sleeping like Snoopy.
Yeah, on top of my my house.
Yeah, on top of your house, yeah. And you're just, like, laying there, and you're all, like, sad. And then your owner comes and gets you, and he's all sad. Your own, you are owned, and it is by a white male.
Yeah. Yeah, just like Britney. Exactly. No self-esteem at all. Actually, she wants to be, we both want to be dog. We're willing to let life dog walk us.
She is like a funny Snoopy.
Well, Snoopy's funny.
Okay, well, she's Snoopy.
Although in this episode, I've got a few bones to pick with her particular sense of humor.
Episode.
But let's, well, I did too, except for one thing, but let's cover the previous episode and we can get into this one. So she overhears Brittany and Lisa talking shit about her from her slumber chair there downstairs going into her. And then everyone goes to breakfast and Bronwyn confronts Lisa and Angie and Lisa is like still trying to, you know, play a, be like, everyone needs to apologize to me. You all attacked me. And then she doesn't really have a leg to stand on when Angie reveals that Lisa does, in fact, continue to break her agreement with Bronwyn, saying that they will not talk about each other's kids and husbands.
Yeah.
Lisa broke it immediately after, put her hair over her face, and said, one of my friends was making out with Todd and he couldn't stop farting. Which Lisa.
You're right.
Confirms. She
and then we get the most incredible confessional from Mary Cosby. We get the most incredible confessional from Mary Cosby where she is not sure which would be more horrific, her husband cheating on her or her husband cheating on her while farting and having stomach problems. And at the end, she's like, oh, like, what's wrong? Like, what's wrong with him? His stomach. Oh, God. Oh, God.
Yes. Check out a friend of the show, Oliver Sims, on TikTok's reenactment of this scene.
It's incredible.
He blinks the 187 times that Mary does within those 2 minutes. Very good. A monologue for the ages. And so then later they go to the beach for a day trip and Mary confronts Meredith about being a bad friend to Lisa. Lisa's upset she's not backing her up more. But scared of alienating her completely because she doesn't really have anyone else on her side. And Mary kind of really lights into Meredith for basically kind of like being a slacker cast member is kind
she's
of,
like,
I think,
you're boring. That's what Mary says. She's like, you're boring. Like, you're a snooze.
Yeah.
Like, get something. Like, go do something. You're boring me. You're boring me.
Yeah, and I really think that we'll get more into this is later carried over into the next episode, but I really think this is, like, the battle of the slacker cast members. And more is revealed later. And then Meredith and Brittany get in a big fight at dinner that night.
And how?
When it is revealed that
Zombie dinner.
Lots of fake knives through heads.
They're all wearing knives on their head.
Yes. You know, a classic Borscht Belt type gag.
A
Marx
for
Brothers.
A reason.
Yeah.
It's a classic for a reason.
Yeah, we always love the, you know, creativity and genre mixing.
We always love a nod to the Marx Brothers when our Housewives girlies do it.
We love it. Kind of like horror Steve Martin, you know, with the arrow through the head. You know, maybe like could have used maybe like a rubber chicken. A rubber axe. It becomes kind of like a rubber chicken in this fight. When Brittany and Whitney revealed that they saw a TikTok today that Seth, Meredith's husband, is cheating on her from an Uber driver 6 months ago, a friend of an Uber driver who 6 months ago picked him up with the, you know, supposed mistress. Mm-hmm. And Meredith really goes on Brittany. And she throws that rubber axe, which really...
From her head. She throws from her head. The axe in her head. She throws it at Brittany.
Yeah. Talk about a splitting headache.
Oh, my.
Talk about a battle axe.
Well, she is a battle axe. And then guess what? Poor Brittany, she gets so sick.
And Brittany vomits over the side
she
of the
vomits,
boat.
And then she takes a shot.
Yes, and then takes a shot. That's actually, yeah, what precipitated all of this was that Meredith had to comment on Brittany's Alexia-like medicinal treating of her stomach condition by drinking more alcohol to numb the stomach and make her feel better. Mm-hmm. Also, a nod to Brittany from the Valley, who uses the same stomach medicine.
Right. Hers is Fireball. Mm-hmm.
Right. And so then they get into the whole Seth of it all, which, as usual, do not bring up my husband or my children. Meredith loses it. And that brings us into the next day and the next episode, episode 9. So we start off by resetting the scene and going back to a gag that has served us so well the whole past 3 episodes. We are going to dog walk and humiliate the below deck crew mm-hmm. by continuing to trick them into thinking we are going to treat them as co-workers, other cast members with any respect, let them talk.
Let them feel like they're getting some sort of dignity.
And we'll extend it, and then we'll instantly rip it away like a yoga mat underneath their feet as Captain Jason tries to teach the ladies yoga.
This guy's having to do so much. Okay, he's the captain of the boat. He's the boss of all the people working on the boat. But also, like, he was Angie's doctor. He was, like, when she was vomiting the first day, like, wouldn't stop. And so he comes in with, like, the ice packs and puts them on her legs because somebody forced him to tell him he has to be the on-call medic. And, like, now he's teaching these women yoga. I'm just, like, he's having to do so much. It's crazy. And they still don't respect him.
And this brings me to my theory, Michelle. So we learned in the first episode of this trifecta that Heather and Captain Jason are friends, but they did hook up. Heather kind of made it seem like
she
was the one who ended things.
They
knocked knees, right. I'm getting from... either Captain Jason has a humiliation kink and this is some kind of like twisted flirting, or I think that maybe he was the one who dumped her from the way she is punishing him.
He wasn't Watch What Happens Live the other night, and he did say, because Andy asked him about knocking knees, and he's like, you know, he blushed a little, and he was like, we're great friends, but nothing happened. So that means something did happen down under.
Interesting stuff. Hopefully more will be revealed. We'll continue to watch what happens. So then Meredith and Brittany during yoga, it's crazy because it's like, you know, yoga scenes in Housewives, usually it's like they fill out the class with extras and it's like you're in the back of the class whispering. Six of them, 2 feet away from Captain Jason, the teacher, just talking out loud while he's calling out yoga commands.
Normal yoga stuff. It's famously like talk loudly during this practice type thing.
Yeah, you know, like yoga is. It's all about confrontation. And being involved in what other people are doing. Not
listening to
an
instructor, not listening to yourself.
Meredith really... It's interesting that Mary was haranguing Meredith for not participating enough, and then Meredith walked perfectly into this trap of taking the bait, and now she has a very strong storyline with Brittany. I mean, really great work. Braun and Meredith, they bond over the cheating allegations that each of their husbands have received yesterday.
Yeah.
And
Braun wins. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And Braun wins peace offering was she brings in the unicorn.
Uni, as they call her.
Meredith is immediately giddy. Well, first she is like, no on this offering. And Bronwyn's like, we should throw it overboard.
They're so giggly. They're like little schoolgirls giggly.
And Mary, like, she names it Uni. She gives it a voice. She's really She's really doing the voice quite a bit.
What is that word?
Anthropomorphizing the stuffed animal. I'm like, maybe she seems like a great mom. Or
Yeah, she really, but she's also out for blood. And this Uni's got to go.
Uni's got to go. She's like, I want to be free. Like in this kind of twisted, dark fairy tale.
I want to go for a swim.
Uni wants to be euthanized to get away from the twisted love of Brittany.
She thinks
and
it's like a Free Willy type situation, but free Uni.
Right. Yeah. Back to the rest of the unicorns, or he'll kill us all. Like
yes. But her and Bronwyn, they are bonding over this. They're being so sneaky. They're like sneaky little sisters.
And Bronwyn, this is the thing I do not like about Bronwyn's sense of humor. After putting Angie in an inflatable last episode, which almost killed her, where she had near concussion and broke her, was bleeding profusely from the hand.
Was walking around this yacht just like, can somebody that is not the captain of the ship please tend to me medically?
And Bronwyn brings them out again.
These inflatables. I don't want to see them again. I don't want to see them ever again, Bronwyn. I know you have lots of other outfits. We're done
and
with
this. And it's also like, Bronwyn, stop. It's like, we love all of our try-hard ladies of Salt Lake City. Like,
there's not a reason for it. It doesn't make any sense.
It's not funny. It's not like bacon as a personality. It's cringe. Enough. Enough.
Yeah. Enough. Taylor Armstrong, enough.
I do think that it was a very satisfying end to the initial mystery we were promised of, like, there's a passenger overboard, or below deck footage made it seem like a crime scene. We found out that Meredith and Bronwyn are the Robert Wagner and Christopher Walken all along, and they were the ones
Uni
who drowned.
And Uni is Natalie Wood.
Exactly. So then they sit down to last breakfast. Meredith and Brittany bicker, but Meredith doesn't really want to get into it with Brittany. Her biggest issue is with Whitney, because Brittany is a pea brain. So then she turns away from Brittany, who is next to her, just to face Whitney to talk it out. And what follows is a scene of Commedia dell'arte that is staged so funnily, where Brittany is responding to everything Meredith is saying through pantomimes, and she's ignoring her by and for listeners, I'm making big hands motions, like a "what happened?" like hands up in the air,
Marcel Marceau, shaking a fist.
Yes, very Marcel Marceau on a train, very Ethan Slater's new off Broadway project. While Whitney and Meredith have the real scene and talk it out. And Whitney explains, it's just the new rule. We got to bring it to everyone. I can't help it. And it's right. The new rule. Got it. Okay. Just mad at Brittany now. It works so well.
Got it.
And then, Michelle, as a woman of God, what did you think of this scene? Which is also the question that Bronwyn asked Mary when she was asking her to intervene as a woman of God.
Well, I haven't been a woman of God until I watched this scene, and then I felt like a godly presence because it was so entertaining.
It was so good. So, you know, comedy is our God, and these ladies served him.
In acting, even if you're not the one speaking and doing dialogue, you always need to be in character. You always need to be performing.
And this was
all did. Everyone showed up for work today.
At breakfast. Particularly Brittany, who, you know, she's had a lot of onstage experience.
And she's not well right now. Something has gone missing.
But the show must go on. And she really was giving me a chorus member who is trying so hard to be seen. And
she's going
really
to be a star on vaudeville real soon.
Real soon. And then I do have to take one segue, and then we'll get right back into it. But did you know, I learned today, that Brittany is like the Rachel Lee Cook Mormon teen and young adult movies, which on Sundays, they're only allowed to watch those.
She's been in like she is all that type of thing.
It's like, apparently it's called the DM, I guess, like the dorm monitor or something.
Oh, I thought it was like the Mormon
Dungeon Master. Dungeon Mormon. No, but it's like a, you know, a godly Mormon rom-com. You know,
I see that. She was probably like such a cutie pie.
I mean, she looks the same, right?
She's yeah, gorgeous. And honestly, every scene we see her in on Housewives, like, she's basically just always trying to do a meet cute with somebody, but she's getting yelled at.
Exactly.
She's always I want to give you a hug. You know,
she's still in character. She's method.
Always in character. She never breaks. She's very method, you know, famously. She's very Daniel J. Lewis that way.
Yes.
Never stopped being in character for The Crucible.
Yes. Yeah. Proctor John.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm. I do think I'm like, maybe we should cover this for one of our
weeks where they're not playing Salt Lake City.
I think we should do a live watch of it.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Great. So then we get to the end of the cruise. Sadly, Heather now coyly apologizes. Sorry, guys.
Sorry.
I know that we did not really let you be in scenes unless you were silent and took your shirts off. But you guys' turn now. Film footage. Go out. Mm-hmm. You guys make your own kind of music. Will it be as good as ours? Mm-hmm. No. And here is your tip. And then Daisy says, wait.
Oh,
she
my God.
She is going to be the messenger in this one plot point. And she says, someone fell overboard and delivers Uni the Unicorn to Brittany,
who is
surprised to know that it's wet.
She's wet. It's a real whodunit.
Whodunit.
Now we're in the movie Clue.
Right. And she's going to ask the question that people did not ask soon enough about Natalie Wood or Mr. Body. She mm-hmm. said, who threw this over? And Bronwyn fesses up immediately. She said, it was me. Wait, I thought you'd think it was funny. And Meredith says, Uni wanted to swim. He has tanner and makeup all over him.
Uni needed a bath. She needed to go for a swim. She had self-tanner and makeup everywhere. She needed to get clean. It's like she's very into this. Like she has, every time she has to say Uni, she's got a new, like, it's a new layer to Uni.
Yes, she's really committed to, like she thinks Uni is the new cast member. So she's like, okay,
I don't
setting
even
up
think that's what Brittany calls it, is it?
No,
she
made
think
up the name.
She was calling it Uni.
She was probably like,
it's
what
just
you
Meredith.
Uni?
Yeah.
Like, Uni is
she's
college
like,
in British.
Unicorn. I know that, like, honestly, when I watched the episode and she first said Uni, I was like, is she British?
Is she ordering a tuna roll? Like,
I know.
What's going on?
Uni? Uni? No.
Uni. Oprah? Uma? That's a really
oh, that was a classic joke. Funny bit.
Classic
people
David
loved
Letterman
it.
At the Oscars 1993.
Famously hated it,
I believe. So Meredith kind of refuses to apologize. Brittany is deeply hurt. And then we go into one of our classic Housewives end of trip flashback sequences.
Oh, my God.
Dun, dun, dun.
We know drama.
This is kind of filmed like a teaser for a true crime docuseries, kind of a surviving Mormonism kind of vibe. We find out that Meredith, through a series of confessionals by each of the ladies, Meredith was out of her mind at the airport.
Oh,
we
my
see
God.
Texts. I am livid. Mary
yeah,
joins
I'm,
in.
I'm, yeah, people. Okay. I guess it sounds like Meredith went fucking crazy and was, you know, just seeing red with Brittany, just so incensed by this woman. I actually could not handle this. Okay.
Like, I had a feeling might have triggered you.
This gave me
Rena and Kathy.
Beverly Hills Sprinter.
Flashback.
I can't do it.
I think
why wasn't why did nobody and Heather, I'm looking at you. Why did nobody think to pull up their phone? Also,
and Bronwyn pointed that out too.
Yeah. Also, like how nobody else on the flight did either. Like, even if you didn't know these women are absolute stars, you'd be like, this woman's fucking crazy and drunk on pills and yelling at this other woman who's holding a unicorn. Like, I needed to see the footage. I don't care. I don't want to see everybody talking about something that we never get to see. That is like the one thing in Housewives I don't like.
But for me, I totally understand. I know like a lot of viewers feel that way. And I know a lot of them are actually really mad at kind of Heather and Whitney and Mary to a lesser extent for like bringing it back in. Yeah, I do think that like a reenactment would be perfect for Salt Lake City to explore.
Let's just do a reenactment.
Like, yeah, like, I think that would be really funny.
Have to be, you get some reenactors. I don't care, but I need to be able to see it so I can, and like I need to be able to
have your own opinion.
And I need to be able to watch it and fully like digest what I'm seeing and hearing. And this was one of the few times I've ever been kind of disappointed in this franchise.
So counterpoint for me. I understand where you're coming from. I understand.
But you feel the same. I know you feel the same about Sprinter Van.
It's different for me with Salt Lake City because this is like, first of all, this was only like 15 minutes of the episode. Second of all, I'm not worried we're going to spend the rest of the season litigating this.
We are.
We're on to something out next episode.
I'm just saying this one thing I was like kind of annoyed by because I was like,
yeah,
guys, you're always at work. Yeah. It doesn't matter if you're on a boat, planes, trains, automobiles, cameras up.
Yeah. It erodes the trust between... You know, we know that you guys are machinating and stuff like that, but it's like it erodes the trust that you as Salt Lake City housewives are always going to give us the best drama. Right. Like, we don't think you're going to tell the truth, but we think you're going to give us the juice.
You gave
us footage. That's why we love you guys.
When the feds and like Homeland Security and the FBI showed up at Beauty Lab and Laser, you can't show 5 minutes of a Delta flight?
Yeah. Yeah, it's just a little...
It's a little suspicious.
They give us so much and show us so much, but it's like something... It's just like a classic faux pas. Weird.
Like, what were the other housewives doing where they were like, we don't want any of this to be shown? There has to be a reason. There has to be some sort of a reason. We're moving on just like these girls did. So I do applaud them for that.
Well, let's just the two sides of the story we're kind of shown are we see that Mary is like, Meredith went off. She started reliving what Brittany said. She like was in another world. They have a group text at the same time being like, she's unhinged. What's going on with her? They say that Meredith was shaking her seat, wine was splashing, hair was being pulled, and Heather and Whitney keep saying Lisa was part of it and winding her up and participating in the shaking and the asking for everyone for their phone, give me your phone. And then Lisa says she was asking for people's phones to see the TikTok to like try to quell the situation. Mm-hmm.
Doesn't think Meredith is boring anymore. She just thinks she's fucking nuts.
Yeah, but I mean, and you know, I think that that's looks a little convenient too. Where it's like, Meredith's not doing enough. Well, we have
watched this.
Now she's doing. Yeah, now she's engaged.
But Meredith is like, there was no court martial,
which is, I mean, a good defense. She's a lawyer
because we have seen that one. You know, we've seen TikToks and YouTube videos of people not doing well on a plane if they've, you know, had one too many drinks or taken a pill to relax.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And just, or just like, you know, see a
fucking guy
back there.
I'll tell you, that motherfucker right there is not real. Right. She's from Dallas.
Yeah. Dallas' zone.
Dallas' zone. That motherfucker right there is not real.
Hometown hero. We should get her as a guest on Watch What Happens Live.
I bet that we could.
So Heather does a sit down with Brittany for her to lodge her formal complaint, with the Housewives LLC. Brittany's like, she is very like, oh, I can still feel the trauma in my body. It's like,
that was my favorite line. She was like, I can still feel the trauma in my body.
She definitely reads the body keeps the score.
I love it. Yeah. Yeah.
She's a Bender Cook fan.
Mm-hmm.
Brittany's recollection of the timeline is 4 hours into the flight. She was still going with the hair pulling, the shaking, the yelling,
tossing the wine.
And then Heather says she woke up when Meredith went to the bathroom, shook the chair and saying, this one. And that's when Lisa said, you fucked up. Show us the video. And Brittany started crying. She said the mini flight attendants came over to check on her.
Like, are you okay, Miss Bateman? She said they were like, Miss Bateman, are you okay, Miss Bateman?
They thought she was Justine Bateman is mm-hmm. why they would recognize
Which,
her.
Which, we don't like her.
No, she speaking she's of that motherfucker mad. In the back.
That motherfucker right there is not real.
Cool. A similar mental place. Mm-hmm. So Brittany, she can't believe that Lisa turned on her so hard, which clearly, like, you know, I guess Lisa was like trying to show Meredith, this is how I defend you. You yeah. need to defend me.
Yeah.
But Brittany says, Heather and Brittany agree that Brittany deserves support, dignity, and protection. And the ensemble is on her side.
Ensemble.
So fan. Fan
that was weird. You just sounded like Kermit the Frog. What was
I was
that?
Swallowing the last tiny bit of my nicotine.
Our
lozenge.
Rainbow connection.
The lovers, the dreamers, and me. So obviously, like, usually bullying a newbie is bad. We see, like, we saw it on Rosie this season, where it really turned people against Emily and Gina. Mm-hmm. Can you guess what the fan response so far is here?
They're for it.
They are pro Meredith scenario. They believe it's all a lie. They're again triggered
yes.
by the Lisa Rinna
Let
of it all.
Duncanville head attack. America's sweetheart. America's Mormon sweetheart.
And they just really hate Britney too.
Yeah. I think she's such a star and everybody knows it. She gets more fucking screen time than a lot of housewives. Like, not just like, you know, like full cast housewives. Like, we have to keep remembering she is a friend of.
She's an Adriana level friend of. I mm-hmm. mean, not in terms of like her like history Reach. Of work for Bravo, yeah. but like in terms of, you know, the recent season's
Iconic.
Quality she's giving. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And then Brittany and Whitney sit down.
Whitney's.
Or no, sorry. Bronwyn and Whitney sit down. My mistake.
This is a fun lunch.
I thought this was really
Insightful.
Revolutionary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, even like Whitney was like opening my mind.
So, and this really, this was when I was like, okay, I don't mind that we didn't see it as much because we spent about 1 minute on this at lunch. She's like, Whitney's like, I'm not sure if it was alcohol or sleeping pills, but Meredith was in a pure rage. So it's like, okay, we're bringing back the allegations, the rumors and nastiness. And Bronwyn's like, but enough about that. I don't really want to take a side on that yet. But did you know that?
She does a perfect segue. Do you remember? She does the segue. She's like, well, yeah. Well, speaking of people who don't know how to act right on airplanes, my husband is a lot like Meredith, but he was cheating on me and looking at other women in lingerie on a plane. And Whitney's like,
yep.
Whoa.
Oh. Interesting.
Oh, my.
And then Bronwyn, I think, has an interesting angle on this. She's like, was really mad he had to stay at a hotel. I believe it because, like, they
knew
his placement on the plane,
number.
The flight number. I mean, are they tweeting the flight number? That's, like, insane.
That's fucking wild. I don't know my own flight numbers.
Yeah, it's, like, four numbers. Did they know his confirmation
code? I only hear flight
code?
Numbers if it's crashed.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, Malaysian flight.
We never saw her.
We never saw her again.
I don't know her.
It wouldn't bother me if he had told me he was going to look at these women
in lingerie. Yeah.
If he just warned me that was going to happen on the flight, I'd be fine.
I'm an understanding woman.
I would be open to try an open marriage or be poly or have threesomes. And this is, like, very revolutionary
yeah.
for housewives.
But also,
opinion.
Like, look at who raised her. She's like, I will just, like, do anything for somebody to still love me. And then Whitney's like, oh, I totally get it because we have old husbands.
Because we have old husbands
They're
and, like,
old.
You know.
Men of a particular age.
And Whitney hints around that they
yeah,
have an open marriage.
Or that, you know, maybe he hasn't been so faithful. It is interesting that she uses their age as, like,
a reason
why they've strayed. Like, as they've become old men, they've been
yeah
like,
it's like, you know,
I
how
want,
old men are, they want to spread
they're
their
so
seed.
Horny for you know. Young women, by the way, like Whitney and Bronwyn are both still in their 30s
and gorgeous and it's like
insane, like
you
Whitney
know.
Is like a, she's like so fucking hot, but you know she's I get it, we've been together for 15 years, but it's just like Todd being on a plane, like all of these like rumors and nastiness with Todd lately is just like what is going on here? I just don't think him and Bronwyn should be married because I just think like he's so miserable. But like,
and
what
she
a
is.
Weird thing to do on a plane. I just think that's a weird thing to do on a plane. Like, look at lingerie.
So here's what I kind of think. I actually don't even know if this story is true or Bronwyn thinks so. I think Bronwyn took it as an opportunity to be like, you guys can keep throwing this at me.
But I will just talk about whatever.
But I'll be like, well, it's because we're in an open... Like, that. She's so... I think that this is what I like about both her and Whitney. They're very principled in terms of like what they want to
discuss
support on screen. Yeah, they'll tear anyone. They play the same games, but
we're not
like,
talking about that weird lawsuit or that sealed document, whatever.
We don't want, well, not even that. It's like, we don't want to have storylines where we're being shamed for like, swinging is shameful. And they kind of want to open the door for that for all the franchises. Like, why can't we? Obviously,
yeah, can't,
a lot of these
Bronwyn
women are in open marriages.
Soft,
you know?
Swinging with Taylor Frankie Paul. Let's
and she's the one who really opened the door for everyone. But Whitney and Bronwyn, former Mormons, are carrying on her legacy and her work on Bravo, which I really appreciate. Mm-hmm. That where it's like, you know, they usually are like, no way, swinging is shameful. I would never. My husband and I are in monogamy. Da, 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 da. And they're like, well, why does it have to be that way? It's like fucking 2025. Like, why does it have to be that way? I think we'll actually get a lot more fan support if it's like we're in an open thing. People understand and respect that now.
Yeah.
Instead of like we are. I mean, it's like if you have kids and this is kind of what Whitney says. Like, she's like, we haven't or have we? We have an agreement or do we? We you know, we will go to therapy, figure out why if
or
we want to,
we?
But did we? But then once our kids are graduated, then it's whatever. It's like she's going to be more open about it. She's just protecting her kids, you know. Mm-hmm. And Bronwyn's kids are, you know, her kid is an adult, you know. It's like they should. It's why shouldn't they be the ones to be like, yep, we've got open marriages. So do you, you know?
Yeah.
Like why? Like there's nothing wrong with it, you know. Let's be more honest because it's kind of confusing. A lot of your marital situations.
Honestly, I hope that Bronwyn is getting I need Bronwyn to be getting dicked on by somebody else. It can't be Todd.
Here's my theory right now for Todd and Bronwyn. I kind of think it was like a mix of like a Kelsey Camille situation with like a Jesse and Michelle from the Valley situation where it was like, okay, Gwyneth's graduated. Let's get Bronwyn set up with her reality TV career. But then, and then we'll like divorce, you know, we'll let it play out a little on camera. We'll be in control of it. But then Todd realized, I am a reality TV diva. I was born to be on camera. Let's let this,
let's see what
keep going
happens.
For a few seasons.
Yeah, let's see what happens. Yeah.
What if we have an open marriage? You know, what if we.
Done a confessional though. Has Todd done a confessional?
I think not this season because he's so. Like, the lady doth protest too much.
He's
like,
so
I don't
brat.
Like the housewife.
I don't
so
like
those
it
girls.
Here.
Yeah.
He's and, very serious. His business is very serious.
And the fact that, oh my God, I can't believe this is how he is like Queen of the Divas. Bronwyn texted him and was like, oh, it looks like you've, you know, been pretty busy on the plane. And that he texted back, oh, you want to go gossip about it with your friends like you were always?
Yeah, that's what they're really good at doing. It's like, okay, Slay, he ate that.
Bronwyn's like, yes, sir.
He ate that like a cherry. Like somebody else's cherry. He ate that.
I know. We got to get him back in the mix. We really do.
Yeah. I need to see him go. I just, yeah, he should.
I need to see him duck walk.
Oh my God. He's so, can you imagine him voguing?
Yeah. I can imagine him walking face, walking arms. Love Todd. And so, yeah, I think the longer they draw this out, the better for everyone. And then we have this Electra Greek Olympics storyline out of the wild blue yonder.
Yeah. No, it's so funny because it starts with Angie being like, and the only one who can center me right now is my daughter, Electra. And then Electra's like, they have a scene. They're talking about her horse riding. And Angie wants her to be like, she wants her to represent Greece. And Electra's like, I'm not Greek. I'm. Was born here and you're forcing me to be Greek.
Yeah, I at first I was like, oh my God, why are we doing so much like Greek storyline stuff just to explain the trip to Greece? We don't need to explain the trip to Greece. But I actually think it kind of works because it's like so fucking random. And because we have Electra being kind of the voice of us being like, what the fuck, mom? Yeah. Stop why making Greek doing... happen.
You're like always forcing Greek things on me. She's like, the food. And you make me practice Greek, the language. And like, you Greek make church. Me go to church. It's like she's like, you know, every teenager, like, mom, like, I don't want to do this and you're not cool and you're too involved, but it's all about being Greek.
Greek.
And
I
then
know.
Andrew's like, but what about Pop? He's Greek and, you know, blah, blah. You know, she just keeps wanting. And then Angie tells her, like, I think I want to get a dual citizenship or something, you know.
Mm-hmm. And then and Electra's like, care. You know, like, I'm half Greek, but I'm also half. Like a horse person, yes. You know, I think I really, my horse girl half is like the half that I am. Grandpa was a horse person. His dad was a centaur. Like I connect more to the horse
to the
side.
Horses than anything Greek. Yes. I don't get that feta near me.
But I do think the unspoken part that Angie doesn't want to say on camera is like, well, you're not good enough to compete for the U.S. and
exactly.
horse racing. Are you out of your
mind?
So we got
to like do I don't think the Greeks are like doing that great.
Yeah.
Know?
So it's like, why wouldn't you just,
you know, they just eat olives all day long.
But that's probably like the thrilling conclusion is that they go to Greece.
Will
and
she
then
or won't
Electra.
She represent Greece?
In the
I don't
horse
even
Olympics.
Think that she can.
Yeah. I mean, if she was born with dual, but it's like, why
but
would
she
be
wasn't.
Born with dual citizenship when
she,
just her.
Yeah,
her mom is half
think,
Greek.
I don't think that Angie has dual citizenship, does she?
Yeah, she doesn't. Yeah,
she was born in the U.S. It's only her father who was like born in Greece, but he moved here. I'm not saying she's not Greek. She is Greek, but I'm just
well,
like,
I mean, I guess it's like with Italy, actually. I'm not
have,
sure
like,
what
the laws
citizenship
to get
laws.
Dual citizenship.
Stassi's kids are, they have dual citizenship with Italy because Bo
of
is half Italian. It's, so the law, he, she might be,
well,
she he, might have
yeah,
dual
well,
citizenship.
Yeah, well, because he, yeah, he has citizenship in Italy. He was born there.
Oh, that's
he still
true.
Has that hot sister living in Italy. That
no, he
has
wasn't
a
born.
Crush
he wasn't
on
born in Italy, babe. Tattoos. Babe, don't you remember that we went through all of his ancestry and birth records?
I thought he was born in Italy.
No. Remember, we pieced through all of
he
his
lived
stories.
There. He lived in Italy
for like 2 years when he was.
He
19.
Lived in Italy.
Not even a no. Not even a full year. He oh. like after he was
oh,
already an
was,
adult. He was.
I don't remember now. I thought he was like. I really. I don't know why I thought. He
no,
was
it has birthright citizenship for your. I do think that probably Electra is a citizen, and that's why we're, you know. Getting this
well,
that's why she could compete.
She doesn't have to go to Greece to train for the Olympics if she doesn't want to.
Yeah,
although that
her.
Is like the birthplace of the Olympics.
That's
come on, Electra.
True
get your,
yeah
get it together.
But I mean all of this is seen clearly seen building for the purpose of the trip, and Electra mm-hmm. will also come, and you know,
yeah, she will represent her country well, whichever country she wants.
Right, but not America because she's
not America. Ready. Maybe not Greece because she's like over it.
Yeah, maybe like Malta, ooh. Somewhere a small country.
I keep getting
you know.
TikToks that I should be visiting Malta, but I'm like, I don't want to.
Yeah, fair. America. No, Malta's next top model is. So
I don't
good.
Know
gonna,
how
I'm
you get there
today. I don't really either.
I don't know. I'm going to Paris in like a month. I leave tomorrow.
Oui, oui.
I leave. A month from yesterday.
It's exciting. Okay, let's finish this up. So Heather waits for Lisa at the beignet place for a long time, good like, you know, 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And then they sit down. Lisa is mad at Heather.
Oh, no. Okay, this is so funny, though, what Lisa said. She's like, I wonder if they're as good as mine.
As my oh, and then and Heather's like, oh, right, you serve beignets at your club. I'm like, why would they
what?
Serve beignets at a club?
What club? Her weird club that sells her tequila? What is going on?
I yeah, it's like, I can't imagine. Oh, yeah, let's sit down for a bottle service and a basket
and a
of beignets.
Yeah, the Salt Lake City treat. All of this just screams Salt Lake City.
And then Heather is saying, like, you guys tore Britney's skin, hair, clothes. You're like an mm-hmm. angry mob. Afterwards, she was like yeah. a refugee trying to, you know, put herself
she
back together.
Trauma in her body.
And then like Lisa is like just denying all of it. She was like, I was trying to calm her down. It's she's not my I'm not responsible for controlling her. And she's like, oh my God, I feel like I'm in Willy Wonka land and some Oompa Loompas are gonna come out. Like I am like at least like am I get some chocolate for all this or something. It was so like Patty Harrison.
It was so funny. I feel like I'm in Willy Wonka's
land. At least am I gonna want to get
chocolate.
She would be
fun. Like if they ever do another reboot of Willy Wonka, I would like to see Lisa play him.
Come with me and you'll see.
Is it raining? Is it pouring? She'd be a good Willy Wonka to me. She's so goofy.
I think she'd be a good like one of the parents, like maybe like a Mike TV's parent.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
And then Mary and Meredith meet. Mary's like very alarmed by Meredith's behavior.
Yeah.
She says, Meredith, you were not in a good place. I've seen you mad before, mad about your family, triggered. This is different. But Meredith, she's like Stone Cold Thomas, you know, another ballroom term. And she's like, what do you think happened? And Mary's like, look, I was there. It went on for a while.
And then Meredith's like, you were asleep. And everybody like, was asleep.
And Meredith's like, it went on for 15 minutes. And Mary's like, no, Meredith. No. And Meredith's like, well, I watched a movie. She's already like given herself like a whole timeline.
I had dinner. I watched a movie. I watched two movies. I took a nap. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like the flight is only so long. Maybe it was, I'll give you 30, maybe it was 30 minutes tops. Mary's like, no, Meredith. And I'm like, this is like when we, you know, get back to the, you know, not having the footage. Because it's like, I'm supposed to, in this scene, guess who is more time blind, Mary or Meredith? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, both. I don't believe.
Their phone just being like, how long has this been going on? And you're did all anybody texting. Trying to stop Meredith?
Don't you go back and look at the text and see like when the first text came and then like when it's just like, whatever. Mary says, while I was sleeping, I woke up every time you were yelling. She's like, and you are Meredith Marks. You care about how you're projected. Take accountability and move on. And Meredith thinks that Whitney is manipulating Mary to tell this version of events. Mary thinks Meredith should apologize. May I posit a dark theory to elaborate on my slacker theory?
Yes.
Okay. So like Salt Lake City, it's like they're like the National Honor Society of Housewives. They're all like the straight A students. They work so hard.
NHS.
You know, NHS. And they like we've got the two slackers, kind of Meredith and Mary. And Mary is like becoming not a slacker. She's becoming a workhorse. Like she's like checked in. She's delivering. She's had kind of a breakthrough. And now Meredith is the slacker. But I also think there's an element of what really makes it real is I think Mary's like, I opened up about my son's addiction.
Mm-hmm.
I now really think that is what's going on with you. And I really think that it's unfair.
Like Meredith has a problem.
Yeah. And I think it's real, or at least what happened was.
Do you think that's why they didn't show it? Because it would have been just so obvious.
I really don't know.
But honestly, but it wouldn't have been that because if she was like very intoxicated and like, you know, they would have like they literally stopped planes for that. They land at the nearest airport and remove that passenger. And she does say that she is like, I wasn't court-martialed.
So this is even darker. And this is really like I've been team like I don't think team that Meredith's problem is drinking or alcoholism or like pills. But here's the thing and it's happening in a similar in like a Dragula right now too. If you do a lot of ketamine, even if you're not on ketamine, it really depletes your emotional regulation. It really depletes your emotional regulation.
There's no way she's doing ketamine.
I mean, it's like big in the party scene, like if and just taking like a little of it.
They did ketamine on Mormon Wives.
Exactly. Like, and like she might be on it for like See, depression, and then taking it recreationally.
Because even Whitney was like, I don't know if she had too much alcohol. I don't know if she took too many sleeping pills.
It's just a theory based on, like, I know she's, I don't know. And I don't even know if she is on pills.
But we are speculating. But I don't think it's a secret that, like, there's been a lot of footage of Meredith, like, slurring her words. And even, like, the most famous thing she's ever said on the show is, like, she's slurring. The room right. is nastiness.
Right. But I'm actually, this is, like, in favor of her not being fucked up. It's that, like, she probably wasn't on ketamine at the time, but, like,
she's just
if you've done a lot of ketamine in the past, it can, you know, it just really fucks with your emotional
regulation. Yeah, so don't do ketamine, guys.
Don't do ketamine, guys. Also, people are dying. It's
dangerous. I would never do ketamine. It scares me.
Unless you are being treated for treatment-resistant depression and you're doing it through a doctor.
Through a doctor, yes. The way I'm working on my depression is working for me. I don't feel like I need to have ketamine treatments right now. But if you need to, under the supervision of a medical professional, do you go
for it. Yeah.
Don't get it off the street and, like, snort at you guys. That's fucked up.
Yeah.
Also, yeah. Oh, my God. It can – okay, Jason, just end the episode. But, like, it can ruin your bladder. You know, that's what happened to Elon Musk. Like – he can't pee right anymore. Like, it somehow – it does something to, like, your, like, whatever that – your urinary tract. It just, like, destroys it. And, like, it can, like, erode the lining of your bladder and shit. Oh, so it's God. Really bad.
I'm so glad I'm scared of most hard
everything.
Drugs.
You're scared everything. Of everything. Yeah, really you don't am. Even drink anymore.
Yeah. Okay, so then we get the mid-season trailer, which this one's a little vaguer than the other trailer we saw. Obviously, we're going to go to Greece. We're going to go to Mary's church. That's what we focus on. But what I'm really excited about is the Brittany and Jared fights.
Yeah.
Where he says, I'm looking for someone stable. And she says, this is why I always break up with you. And they're in the woods for some reason.
Real stable.
I love it. God, I love it.
God, may that love never find me, but always be on my TV.
Yes. Now, that's the real Blair Witch we're going to see. Mm-hmm. That's the Blair Witch project that I'm excited
Blair
about.
Blair Switch project.
All right. We love you guys. See you next week.
Don't do ketamine.
Follow us, like us, subscribe.
Visit
Bye.
Us at the Grapevine Bar.
Starting Tuesday, December 2nd. Bye.
Bye. Bravo Breakdown.